Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think the movement in the church year is beautiful. It is alive, and then we live it. Looking at the text from Sunday going into today, we see that life and that movement, live and living in the things we see, and these things have movement. But last Sunday was about confession, and that Christians confess that Jesus is the Christ, but the Christian life doesn't stop there. It is also about knowledge, the knowledge of who Christ is, the knowledge of the mysteries of God which are revealed to us through Jesus Christ and his teachings, and those are for us to be comforted, that we are comforted through them as we hear them and learn about them. So for Christians, ignorance is never a bliss. For us, comfort and reassurance comes from knowing what is certain. So the Christians forsake speculations and instead clings on what Christ reveals or what God reveals to us from himself. So Paul, when he teaches, Paul takes no joy in pious ignorance, nor does he view faith as a mystery so deep that it cannot be fathomed, because Jesus says in the gospel, in our readings, that he opened their mind to understand Scripture. So what is it that we ought to understand today on this Ascension Day? Christians throughout history have faced persecution, imprisonment, and even martyrdom. And it reminded me of Polycarp, an early Christian bishop, who refused to renounce Christ even under the threat of death by burning. He faced his executioners with conviction, and he said, 86 years have I served him, and even he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? What he's saying is, he has hope in this eternal inheritance that Christ secured for him. Christ, who had journeyed through death and into life. So hope for him is just not optimism. It's not about having the best odds on his side. Hope is confidence. Well, the Christian hope for us is not just a whimsical wish. It is the firm knowledge and the reality that Jesus has already accomplished through his resurrection and ascension. So for us, hope is always connected to Christ, the risen Christ now seated at the right hand of God, who ensures that his victory over death is also our victory. And this is what you and I have by being one with him as his body. And those are the things he wants to teach us in his word and sacrament, and those are the things he wants to give us in his word and sacrament. So when the day Jesus ascended did not end with him being carried up in heaven, in the sky, and then disappearing in the clouds. It ended with the disciples returning to Jerusalem with great joy, where they continually were praising God in the temple. And that's where Luke's gospel of Jesus Christ begins and ends, in the temple, in the liturgy. In chapter 1, the priest Zechariah was offering incense in the temple during the daily office or liturgy for the Old Testament. And then the time was coming when the glory of the Lord will move from the temple to the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then Zechariah's son, John the Baptist, would prepare the way for Jesus, the Word made flesh, and the glory of God, the only Son of God the Father, would come. And glorification is what we see here. And the glorification of God, Jesus Christ, provides comfort to us. Because in his incarnation, we see that he shared our humanity and our human nature. He is a man like us. This means that the one who reigns with all authority knows struggles and joys and sorrows of the world because he lived it. Now we have an advocate through him when he is besides the Father at his right hand, where he is preparing a place for us in the presence of the Father. So through his glorification, we are confident that we too will share his eternal inheritance. That is to say that by ascending into heaven and being glorified, Jesus remains fully human and fully divine, and his human nature did not dissolve or cease to exist, but was exalted. And this is what brings us believers reassurance, that our body, and with all the saints and our loved ones who believe in Jesus Christ, will be resurrected on the last day. But in the meantime, there is also comfort for us. There's reality for us here also, for as we believe in him. The text says, we are given knowledge of him with the eyes of our heart enlightened, so that we may know what is the hope to which he has called us, what are the riches of glorious inheritance in the saints, and the things immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. So we know that God is almighty and he has power and he's active everywhere. He is shown in every place. But that means that the right hand of God, Jesus Christ, is appointed everywhere, beginning from Jerusalem. Going back to Luke chapter 1 again, Christ moves from the temple where God is praised, and Zechariah there is having liturgy where he sings his songs, and then we hear Mary's Magnificat, songs of praise in the first chapter. And then in the final chapter here, chapter 24, it moves from Christ back to the temple again, where we see the disciples are continually praising God. So today on this ascension, we join the disciples and we celebrate ascension, the ascension of our Lord, by returning to Jerusalem with great joy, and to the temple, we continually praise God. This is our Jerusalem. This is our temple. This is our liturgy. This is what Paul means by richness. So in this sacred place, he is present. The Lord is present to bestow upon us inheritance through his word and sacraments and these heavenly gifts, divine blessings of grace and forgiveness and eternal life. They are given to us, given for you here, so that his flesh may be your flesh, drawing us in unity with him. When we think about Jesus Christ being one of us and the church being the body and him being the head, that is one aspect, but simultaneously, we hear about creation. Adam, the first man created by God, created in God's image, and Eve was drawn from his body. So in the womb of a woman, Christ will be born. So Christ took our nature by being born of a virgin. Therefore, Christ is the new Adam. We see this image of marriage, that Christ is the head and we are the body, the church being his bride and him, a loving groom that treats his bride as his own flesh. So Jesus Christ cares for the church. He cares for you. So when he died on the cross, his death was not without hope, but he was filled with the promise of glorious inheritance and power to save And these three things, with hope, are fully expressed in his resurrection and ascension. And that is what we see and mean when we say glorification. That Christ's exaltation at the right hand of the Father is not for his own benefit, but it is for his body. It is for you, the church. And what the Father did for Jesus, exalted him to the highest place and gave him his name above every name, he will do for you personally. What Christ does for himself, he does for you. So that you may have full confidence in knowing that Jesus Christ's ascension and resurrection and reign is for you, so that you too may follow him in the journey from death to life, and that the eternal inheritance awaits you. And the fact that we know this, this knowledge, is the power where we get this confidence, the confidence that Polycarp had. And only this power can give true comfort that the hope is guaranteed by Christ in his journey from into life from on high up in heaven. Jesus tells the disciples to go back to the temple. The disciples will return because there is life. The little g moves because the word in it is alive. And every word spoken, the flesh and blood given, and the forgiveness of sins proclaimed, is restoring us to eternal life, bringing us up into divine communion with the Blessed Trinity. So to celebrate ascension is to join in the worship that is going up into the heavenly host with the saints and all angels, who at this very moment, as we sit here in this place, are praising God and the Lamb. So to celebrate ascension is to worship the risen ascended Lord who rules the entire world, the Lamb who has slain has begun his reign. Now the world out there has no clue about who is really running things, but we know and we are reminded every time we come to the divine service who is. We know who is really running things, and yet we often forget. We get caught up in our little personal problems, whether it is big or small. We get caught up in our problems in life, whether it is marriage, family, children, work, economics, politics, and the list is endless. And we walk into this church burdened with these problems. But our Lord, who reigns in his grace in spite of these things, is looking down to us and faithful to us. And even if the world is bad, and it is very bad, he has good gifts that give you life here. The disciples in their worship then, they are made new, born again from the one who creates and recreates, and he will continue to be present with them in his own means to bring them in their final journey. The disciples who visibly saw him, Jesus Christ, are now like us after ascension. When they return to Jerusalem, they will worship like us, and Jesus will abide with them in a new way through the means that he ordained and worship. The disciples wait in Jerusalem, and Jesus said they will be clothed with power from on high. But you and I have been clothed with that power, that is to say, your baptism. The disciples too already bear Jesus in their bodies and in their preaching. So Jesus says, the one who hears me hears you, the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. And we need to hear this every time we come to worship, because we tend to forget 5 minutes after we walk out of this place. The entire world needs to hear this, that life of the life in the church began with Christ's person. It begins with his work and his command to the apostle prior to ascension. The life in the church is like the life of Jesus. Its center is in Jerusalem. This is where life will begin, and life begins with Christ. With the opening of the minds, that so that all nation may understand Scripture and what they say about who Christ is. All nations are called to this knowledge of Him. And they are called to join the body in eternal life and eternal worship of the Holy Trinity, whose Lamb reigns, and the Lamb who reigns brings the real meaning to this life, real hope, and into the sinful world. In another sense, life always begins in the temple, in the liturgy, and in the place where the word and sacraments are going on. And therefore us, the body, respond to the head with thanksgiving and praise. And our knowledge of Him is clear, it's proclaimed, it's confessed, it's sung, and it's downright enjoyed. The joyful disciples of Jesus will continue to gather around His word and sacrament until they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with much power and glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen.